Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, when will the plague end and life go back to normal? When will the idolaters and those who despise your word be silenced and brought to judgment? When will you deliver us, Lord? Through Moses, God showed his strength in signs and wonders by words and in plagues and destruction. But few of the Egyptians believed that judgment was coming upon them. And while they rested comfortably in their unbelief, the Israelites cried out to the Lord, and he heard their cry. They feared the Lord and did as he instructed. At dusk on the 10th day of the first month of the new year, each family that trusted in the Lord slaughtered their blemish-free year-old lamb, and they painted their doorposts with his blood. These weren't the first animals whose blood was shed for Israel, and they certainly wouldn't be the last. But why all these lambs? Why their blood on the mantle and the posts? What was coming that was so terrible that it required all of this death? It required that they couldn't leave their homes that night, but had to stay in. What is it about this thing? Why did they have to be ready to flee into the wilderness so quickly? What were they escaping? Even as the Israelites gathered in fear that night and did these things as the Lord had commanded, the Lord was actively at work, carrying out the judgment that he had prepared against the Egyptians so to deliver his people. And at midnight, the Lord himself passed through the land of Egypt, and he killed the firstborn males in every family, even of the cattle. Only those in the homes painted with the blood of the lamb were spared. As this 10th plague ended, all of Egypt wept at the death that had come upon them. But it was too late to listen to the words of the true God. He had showed them, he had told them what he was going to do, what was going to happen to them. But their pride-filled hearts deceived them. And in arrogance, they believed that their kingdom and their gods could not be overcome. But the Israelites, they saw the power of the only true God. They saw and then lived the way that God had made for them out of bondage, through the sea and the desert and into the promised land. Many, many years later, in the very land that God had given to Israel, and in the city of the king, Jesus' disciples came out of the temple and they marveled at the great stones of the temple. But Jesus doesn't let them marvel at these things for long. Immediately he warns them that not one of these stones would be left upon another. They certainly didn't, and they couldn't fully understand. And it was a terrifying thing to consider what destructive force could move those large stones and throw down the temple. Later that day, while they were looking at the temple from a distance, from the Mount of Olives, they fearfully came again and asked Jesus, "When will these things be? What will be the sign when all these things are about to be finished?" Jesus doesn't give them a straight answer that they want. He says, "See that no one leads you astray." The danger before the end is that there will be many false teachers, many to lead astray, to distract from the truth and from Christ himself. He says, "Many will come in my name saying, 'I am,' claiming to be the Messiah, and they will lead many astray." More than that, your hearts will be weighed down. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but do not be alarmed by these things. This must take place, but the end is not yet. He goes on to tell them about nations vying for power over and against each other, about earthquakes and famines. He warns them to be on their guard again, to not be deceived or led astray by false doctrine and by false teachers. He tells them that in speaking the truth, they will be handed over to the authorities. They will be beaten when they stand before governors and kings, but for his sake and to bear witness to him in front of them. Brother will then betray brother to death. Families will be divided, and they will be hated by all for the name of Jesus. If the disciples were ignorant of these things before they asked, certainly it was blissful for them. But they were no longer ignorant after Jesus explained, and they couldn't remain in that ignorance any longer. As God had warned about the coming judgment through Noah before the flood, so he warned through Moses before the Passover, so he has warned through all of his prophets. And now he tells his disciples, and also you, what is going to happen as he goes to the cross and death, as he rises from the dead and ascends into heaven, as Jerusalem and the temple are destroyed, and even as the final judgment draws near. And at the end, he says, it is only the one who endures to the end who will be saved. These false teachers are everywhere. False doctrine makes its way into everything that we hear, from the news to media, the sports, our politics, even in our cartoons and movies. Falsehood everywhere. Can you tell those who speak the truth from those who speak falsehood? Are you alarmed by what you hear is happening in this world? Have you listened to Jesus' warnings about the end, and do you take him at his word? Do you repent as he has called you to do before it is too late, before the judgment comes? Will you speak and live this truth, even if it means that you will be handed over to the authorities? Do you think that you're standing firm and strong enough to endure to the end? These are difficult things to consider because the life of cross-bearing is no easy life. And though the devil is defeated, he still seeks and continues to destroy as many as he can before his final end comes. Though God-fearing women mostly look forward to giving birth to their child, I can't imagine that too many look forward to the birth pains. It's very difficult for us also to look forward with joy to the birth pains about which Jesus speaks that we will face before the end comes. This ever-increasing global tension, nations seeking power to consume and destroy each other, the world hating those who confess the truth about anything, but especially about abortion, about how God created male and female, about the LGBT movement, about creation and sin and death and judgment and hell, and about forgiveness and salvation in Jesus Christ alone. You see pastors and congregations divided against each other, families torn apart, husbands who don't love and sacrifice themselves for their bride, wives who don't submit to and respect their husband, parents who abuse their children, children who disobey and hate their parents, violent winds and storms, violent and lawless people who care only about themselves, deadly viruses, and so many other evidences of the increasing evil. These things must come, but the end is not yet. Lord, when will the plagues end and life go back to normal? When will the idolatrous and those who despise your word be silenced and be brought to judgment? When will you deliver us, Lord? We want to know these things just as the Israelites did, just as the disciples did. But he does not tell us the day or the hour of the end. Still, in the midst of these birth pains, decaying cultures and nations, crumbling steeples, as our hymn said it, the rise of the lawless ones, storms and hatred and turmoil in Jesus, there stands Jesus in the midst of these things. He is the ark of our salvation. He's the one that delivered Noah and his believing family through the waters of the flood. He is the Passover lamb whose blood was shed and poured out over us, that we would be saved from eternal death. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the way through the sea, the desert, the curtain, and into the promised land. He is the great cornerstone that cannot be moved. He is the foundation of our faith. He is the true temple of the living God. He is the high priest who doesn't offer endless sacrifices for himself, but sacrifices himself once for all to forgive and save his people. He is the final lamb of God's providing. He is the only sacrifice that can take away sins, the one sacrifice that all of those other sacrifices pointed to. He is the one who endures to the end. He is the only one who can save you. He ascended to heaven, but he has not stopped interceding for you. He speaks his word of absolution, and he forgives all of your sins of doubt and fear, even every careless word. He has called you to faith and washed away your sins in his precious blood. He has made you whiter than snow by putting his own righteousness upon you. He has written your name into his book of life and called you his own. He is your confidence and your hope. There is yet much more evil to endure before the end comes. But no matter how bad it gets, no matter what we must suffer, here stands Jesus in his clear word of absolution that your sins have been paid for. With the water and under the bread and the wine as he gives himself for you, so that you are connected to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, so that you will stand with the one who will stand firm until the end. Here he is in all of these things for you, for your forgiveness, and for eternal life. He is our comfort and our peace. Rest in him. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through his word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.